If you find the information in this program insightful and informative, please consider donating to Knowledge for Life, a nonprofit 501c3. And you can go into the description and click on our Cash App, $KnowForLife, or our PayPal secure link. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate your support.
Your greatly beloved, the God Himself, to come and set the great for us.
Let's have a round of applause for the messenger of Allah.
Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere he advised you to go, go. Everywhere he advised you to stay from, stay from. So we are thankful to Allah for this great helper of mine, Minister Farrakhan. And I say continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan.
So those of you who thought you would come out here to see a weak, fragile, decrepit Farrakhan, I want you to look again. I'm here and I'm strong. And I will look down on all of my enemies, for he promised me that sit thou at my right hand while I make all your enemies your footstool.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome again to another edition of the program called My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, we thank this one God for his many mercies and blessings. And the greatest of God's mercy is that he intervenes in the affairs of humanity when humanity has strayed from the right path. We thank this one God for Musa and or Moses and the Torah. We thank this one God for Isa and or Jesus and the gospel. We thank this one God for Muhammad and the revelation of the Holy Quran. May Allah's peace and mercy be upon these worthy servants of His. However, I would be remiss in my duty as a black man in America if I did not thank the consistency of God, the constancy of God, and thank him for not just, he didn't send us the prophet, he just didn't send us a messenger, but he actually loved us so much that he didn't send nobody after us, he came himself. That is the greatest gift. That is the greatest expression of love that any people could ever receive, to actually get a personal visit from God himself in the person of one Master Far Muhammad. And we thank him for searching among us, finding one worthy among us in the first instance, in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his Christ, now Mahdi. And we thank the two of them for not leaving us comfortless, but giving us their Messiah, our Jesus, the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet all of you in our nation's greeting of peace, of assalamu alaikum. We have with us this evening a blessed one in the student ministry class, under the professorship of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is a young fireball out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. He is a brother. He is a friend that I'm coming acquainted with, not in somebody going out to a bar, jumping around, but seeing him expressing the revelation of God following the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our brother, our friend, student minister, Sultan Z. Muhammad, who will zing you with the word of God. That's what the Z stands for. He will zing you and bring you right on into the ranks. Without any further delay, I introduce to some and present to others our brother, our friend, brother student minister, Sultan Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, all praise is due to Allah. Thank you for having me on, brother minister. It is indeed my honor and privilege to be with you and all of those in the audience of my walk with Jesus as a Muslim. I look forward to dialoguing with all of the family today.
Yes, sir. Brother Sultan, before we get into the main gist of this, we always ask every presenter, every guest, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your journey. What made you accept this teaching? Were you born into it? Were you brought in by a tape? Were you brought in by attending a function? What made you come this way? What was your background? What was your upbringing? Why are you here today under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. In my journey in life, I was blessed to be born to parents who had already been called to the voice of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. My mother, Sister Hadia Muhammad, my father, Brother Ave Muhammad, a former minister for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in my life, Islam has always been present to varying degrees. But I can say that no matter what we are born into of a family, there comes a time where every child must come to see for themselves the path of life that they are to follow. So as all children, I had that same journey to follow. And although Islam was present in my family, I had to, at a certain point, grow up to see that what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was and is offering us is indeed the truth and that we should follow. So as a young person, at the time of my early childhood and into adolescence, we were not necessarily involved in the mosque. But as I grew to be a young adolescent and into college, I began to seek out the truth. I grew up as a drummer and then a basketball player and became somewhat of a athletic star in my basketball journey, going off to play college basketball in Chicago and then Division I basketball at Wisconsin Green Bay University. But as I took the path from being a boy into a man, as I recall, my father once putting in a card for my older brother, he said that the road to manhood is a hard, long road. And I began to experience that at that time in my life. And I can say that in my journey into manhood, living in Chicago, and then going to Green Bay and experiencing what life can put on us, that it was in that life experience away from home here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that I began to see that this life requires guidance. And I knew from a young boy, even though I was not all the way clear on who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was and is, I always felt in my heart that this is a man who is from God. And the more I found myself in difficulty and darkness and confusion, it was the voice of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that gave me a great deal of clarity. And as a young college student coming out of a Catholic high school where they made us study the Old Testament, made us to study the New Testament and the various principles of the Catholic faith, it was hearing the minister with this base in scripture that I received in my high school experience that made me to be able to line up his words and tally his words and his actions with what I had learned in Catholic school, that made his words and his actions so clear to me that this was indeed the one that we have been looking for. And as I gradually became clearer on that, it was only a matter of time before I eventually said, surely there's nothing better for me to do with my life than to try to help this man, because he is the one from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, raised up by God for us to get up out of this condition. And once that was clear in my mind and in my heart, the rest has been history. I've been on the job for a few days now, trying to help him to lift up this word and to go after our people here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and wherever I may be able to be of service. So the quick version that I will give for now.
Thank you, Brother Minister Sultan. Let me say this to you, brother, from my heart to yours. I knew your father personally and up close. We worked together. We did some Savior's Day together. He was an absolutely beautiful human being. I was inspired by his presence. I was inspired by our companionship traveling down this road. Brother, you come from truly blessed stock. May Allah forever be pleased with him. And as I can see in your words and in your actions, brother, you are a chip off the old block. Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam. All praises is due to Allah. Brother Stephen, if you want to roll that clip, you can. If not, we can open the floor up for questions for my brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Both pieces describe him as a light-giving sun, as one who has light to shine on those that are in darkness. As the scripture says, those that sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon them has the light shined. Well, brothers and sisters, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he absolutely made it very clear that his teaching was not about God coming. He said, I represent the presence of God in person. He said, I represent to you the presence of God in person. Now, that may rock some people's boat, but he's not saying anything different than what the Bible and Quran says, that God is a person. It says all throughout the Bible, it doesn't describe a spook or a spirit. It describes God as a man. It says that Adam and Eve heard his footsteps in the garden and they hid themselves from his presence. No spirit or spook has feet to walk through a garden that you would hear footsteps. It says that Moses walked with God and spoke to him face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. That means that he had a face that he could speak face to face with Moses. All throughout the book, brothers and sisters, there are countless examples that show that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about of God's presence in person, He's just representing to you God as he is, not as he has been taught in some of the houses of worship in this world.
All right.
All right. Yeah. That's our gift to you, brother, because you lit the house up.
All praise is due to Allah.
You were bearing witness to all of the gods, from Jehovah to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, thank you, brother, for coming on to the program. That was a powerful clip. And I went to Springfield today to take yours truly, Student Minister Donnell. And his subject was very similar to your subject. And the subject that we're talking on today, the mastery of self, that's so important for us to get control of if we want to see it out of this world and into the next. Can you start off with the mastery of self? What is self?
Well, the whole teaching that we have, we are told it can be summarized in the six words: accept your own and be yourself. And as the minister has taught us, you know, we first have to be taught what is ourself, that we should have the opportunity to be ourselves. As long as we have accepted what this world has made us to think of ourselves, we many times think being ourselves is just continuing on in the folly and the foolishness that this world has pulled us to. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us what and who we really are. And when you're talking about self in the definition of it, it talks about the nature of a thing or the nature of a person. So when we're talking about what is our true self, our true self is a righteous person, or you could say a Muslim, because we carry the very nature of God. But it is that nature that is inside of us that has ultimately now be fed and be cultivated, that we can see the true self come up out of each one of us. So when you're talking about mastery of the nature of God in each of us, that means that there's some work to do, because we have for a long time been other than ourselves in this world. To come back to the point where we have mastery in the exercise of our right mind and the of ourselves in the way of good and righteousness, that is why mosques and study groups have been established to bring us back to ourselves and ultimately grow to the point where we become masters.
Beautiful. I'm glad, Brother Stephen. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, you know, what are some of the steps for a young person who is just hearing the teachings or just wants to come into some control of self? They're tired of living in this world and they want a new way, a new life. What are some of the steps that they can begin to take?
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. I would say the very first step, of course, is to listen to, not just hear, but listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as often as you can, because that is how I got my journey started off. I did not start off with a great deal of discipline, which is step mastery. I did not start off a clean individual living a clean life, speaking and behaving in the way of the righteous. But it was hearing the voice of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who has given us decades on decades of wisdom from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and giving us a modern, up-to-date understanding of the teaching that absolutely gives us the inspiration to begin the journey of becoming our true selves again. And without that inspiration, with that spirit and that desire that would drive us to overcome the temptations and the pull of this world, then we won't even have what it takes to get started. But it is hearing that voice, that man in his word, the way that Allah has blessed him to be able to put together the word, it's absolutely essential for us to begin to change our thinking and to be inspired to go in a new direction. But of course, after getting a regulated diet of the Word of God coming from His servant, then it is a very important thing that we begin to take certain steps in the way of applying what He's offering us. As a young person, when I first began hearing the minister, and I like to still think of myself as a young person, but he is a wonderful voice for young people to listen to, because he absolutely makes righteousness attractive. Where this world makes the folly and the glitter and the materialistic things and the low base life, it makes that to be the only thing that is attractive to people. When you hear the minister preach the way that he does, it absolutely makes us begin to want to be better. And as we have that desire, then it's critical that we find our way to not just be those that view the word on the screen on our phones, but it is good to find our way to the mosque. It is good to find our way to the study group or wherever it is in our city, because it's being around others who are trying to practice that same lifestyle that gives us the positive influence to begin those in the right direction consistently. As long as we are hearing the right word but hanging around the wrong, it becomes difficult to live the life that we want to live. But when we come to the mosque and we find those other brothers and sisters that are traveling that course, that is additional encouragement. It's additional support. And from that, it only becomes a matter of implementing the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us, that include our prayer, that include our dietary law. But one of the major things that was critical for me as a younger Muslim and to this day was that as a young person, I knew that one of the things that I would struggle with in this world of temptation is the restrictive law. So as a young person, that book that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us called The Restrictive Law of Islam Is Our Success, I studied that book constantly. I read it over and over because I recognized in myself that could be an area of weakness that could take me away from this path if I don't have a solid understanding of this law that makes me to more easily live this law. So in recognizing that, I made that book my best friend. It helped me to be able to come out of an undisciplined life and to willingly, lovingly, happily, and cheerfully come into a life of law and order. Not from a mindset of things that I can't do, but to understand that the law is a blessing for regulation and order and peace in my life. And so I would say that is one of the best things for young people to do after you have heard the minister and you've been inspired now. Then arm yourself with that which we have been given that would allow you to be able to stand in Satan's world, that is all aimed at young people to get us off of this course. We have to come in knowing that is the case. And when you're inspired, equip yourself with what the minister is giving us to be able to stay the course.
Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you.
You know, when I was growing up, and I know when student minister was growing up, you know, we just had the television, you know, with three channels. And it went off, I think, at 12 o'clock at night with a Native American that we learned was really a white man from Italy crying.
Oh,
you know, the things that young people have to deal with today with their access to so much on the internet, it could become overwhelming. And so I know you shared a little bit with us in the beginning, but can you tell us maybe an obstacle that you yourself had to overcome, and how did you overcome that obstacle?
Hey.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
Well, I would say that, the life that we live is constantly presenting us with obstacles.
Right.
And so, that has been one of the things that to me in this direction was that I found in this teaching that which gave me a different attitude, a state of mind, and a certain disposition that would enable me to embrace the obstacles in my life with an attitude to overcome rather than an attitude to complain, to allow obstacles to break down. And one of the major obstacles that I upon my beginning here, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, was to in my stepping away from basketball and the world of sport and play to the work of this program. And that obstacle, or that letting go of what some people a dream life, people want to be playing in the big arenas and traveling across the country and staying in the fine hotels and all of the things that came along with the journey that I was on as a Division I basketball player. But it was a matter of me deciding between what I had built of my life that perhaps fed my ego in contrast to that which I felt my soul was calling to, which is to live a life of purpose that is far beyond the world of sport and play. And that obstacle ultimately, as you can see, I chose to follow what I felt I was being called to. But the obstacle of letting go of what this world will make us to success is, and to be willing to step away from people's image and perception of you was something that, it was an obstacle for me, but it has been one that Allah blessed me to surpass, that has given me a certain fortitude of mind for many obstacles that have come thereafter, because this path is not one that when you accept to be a student of Minister Farrakhan, or you trying to get your life together, that all of a sudden you don't have any more obstacles. Well, in fact, the minister said it's many times the other way around, because God doesn't let you say that you love him without making you prove it. So there's been a number of obstacles that have ensued since taking this direction with my life. But as we are taught, the FOI are constantly training and conditioning themselves to meet and overcome all obstacles in their path. So now in walking this walk, the obstacles that present themselves as a husband, as I am, as a father, that I am in being a minister and trying to help to serve Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan here in Grand Rapids, I could go on to obstacles for the remaining hour. But I would say that all of them that I face, the beauty of having this body of knowledge where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is constantly exemplifying to us the faith and the spirit that is necessary to overcome everything in our life, that I've been blessed to be able to handle the obstacles of life, the trials of life, with the right attitude. And so far, Allah's blessing us to not just go through things, but to grow through things.
All right.
Beautiful. 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 Beautiful.
Go ahead, Brother Minister. I won't interrupt.
Sure, Brother. No. Brother, this is absolutely beautiful. The question you're asking is fundamentally critical to all Muslims, whether you are young or old. What this brother is saying, many of us did not get because our parents didn't have this knowledge. So even though we may have survived and overcome some obstacles and now know a little bit better in our older age, what he's saying now, if there's even some old folks listening,
Oh, yeah.
If they would do what he just described, it would too affect our lives in the same way. The principle is not discriminatory. If we would submit as he has submitted to an obstacle of fame, an obstacle of fortune, an obstacle of man, you the man.
Right.
That kind of thing, you know. Some of us didn't have to overcome that obstacle. We had to overcome maybe some angry parents, some angry friends. But when you talk about fame and fortune, giving that up, that means you serious. Yes, so how many of us, if I was like they wanted me to take Michael Jordan's place because I had a bald head, but I'm like, no, I don't want to make all that kind of I want to stay down here with the common people. No, I'm just simply saying, brother, thank you for that. Because what it says, it is it, what you said in your life is representative of a principle that if all of us applied it to the obstacles in our own lives, we would be better people in following the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you for that, Brother Sultan. Let me ask you this also, as you were walking through your life and have come to this point in your life, as you work with younger people, young people your age and younger, what would you say to them on this subject of self-mastery after accepting your own and being yourself? What happens when I come to something, since we know that Allah does not try us by the things that we don't really care about? He always tries us with the greatest sacrifice for the things that we love. He tried Abraham by blessing him with a son, and then turning right back around and asking him to sacrifice that son. What would you advise a young person, as you were describing earlier, in giving up the things that they think are really critical to them in life, whether it's living with a woman out of wedlock, whether it's baby mama trauma, whatever it is, what would you say to a young person when they are tried by the very things that they thought they were striving all this time to get, but in reality may not have been the best thing for them? How would you advise that young person to get past the challenge of, do I let this go? Do I hold on to this? Do I go over here? I don't know what's over here, but I got this. What would you say to them?
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother, for that question that oftentimes is a deciding factor in our ability to go forward. As the minister has said, as mentioned, Allah tries us by what we love. And the Quran says that surely Allah comes between a man and his heart. It is a fact that God comes between us and the things that we hold near and dear to our heart, because he's trying to get us to see that whatever it is that we hold near and dear, or whoever it is that we hold near, that you could not have that, nor could you have the person, except that the giver of gifts, first of all, gave you life and then gave you this thing or these people that you hold so dear. So in that equation, when you have our younger brothers and sisters who, in being inspired to come this way, many times coming out of this world, we find ourselves tied to people and things and circumstances that become a test for us. And we are tested as to whether or not we hold on to this, or do I go forward with my Lord? And when that test enters our life, we have a decision to make. And that is what I am constantly finding myself encouraging young and old, for us to take a moment to reflect over that which we are looking at and truly assess ourselves and our values, because God does not come into our life to be third or fifth or tenth. When he is in our life, He is number one in our life, and he is to be number one over all things, all people. And until we make him number one in our life, then all these other secondary relationships will be tried by the primary relationship, which the minister said is with Allah God. That before Father knew we were in the womb, before our father knew that our mother was expecting, before any of the friends that we had knew we existed, that Allah was with us in the womb, and he's with us from the cradle to the grave. But there comes a time in life when we are called to come along this journey. When we come this way, many of the old relationships have to get left behind. Many of the old connections, the old circumstances can't remain quite exactly as they were. And for me, when I came this way, I had a big circle of friends as a quote unquote star basketball player. I had the entourage and everyone, you know, who thought he'd gone to the league. We should stay close to him. But when it looked like maybe I was going to the mosque rather than going to the league, and that circle changed a little bit. But what you have to know is that there's no friendship greater than the friendship of Allah God. And whatever that you have, whatever relationship that you have, if it is a relationship, it will transition with you into this next phase of your life. But everything that not meant go with you on this journey will fall away. So we have to have the fortitude and the root in ourselves and develop that connection with the God that is sufficient, that no matter who or what doesn't come with me on this journey, I have found sufficient fulfillment in my relationship with him, that whoever or whatever can journey with me, although it will be difficult, as it was when I lost some of those that I thought were my friends, it was difficult. But eventually, I got over it, and I came to see that the best friend that I could have ever gained was the friendship of Allah. And all of the other friendships, some of them came back around, but they had to get reacquainted with who I am becoming. And all of those who would come this way, there's always going to have to be something or someone that doesn't make the journey with you. But you have to know you are never alone when you are with your Lord. So that is what he is trying to demonstrate to us, that he is sufficient. And whatever we think we need, you'll find if you are willing to try to take a step with God, you'll find that he is sufficient and his friendship is greater than anything that you thought you had.
Beautiful, beautiful, sir. Beautiful. Brother Stephen.
Yes, sir.
Are there any questions from the listening audience for our guest?
On this road to self-mastery, we stumble and we fall, right? We all have maybe some failures on this path to self-mastery. What role do failures play in our pursuit of self-mastery, and how can we use those failures as stepping stones?
Praise be to Allah. Thank you for that question, my brother. Your question brings to mind the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where he said that there is no failure in the scientific process. Everything is a matter of trial and error. Everything that we gain, whether it works out or doesn't work out, it adds to our knowledge that we can grow from that which appears to be a negative. When we approach it mathematically and we approach it non-emotionally, then even what appears to be a failure is really just a lesson that we can learn from, in such way that we come out of that experience stronger and better, in such way that we can thank the God for what appeared to be a failure, because it really was not down. As the minister said, down is not down. Down is preparation for up. It is our failures many times that provide us with some of the most impactful lessons. If we take the right attitude towards them, they become something that don't destroy us, but they actually strengthen us, because they give us an opportunity ourselves. They give us a chance to examine what we did and what we did not do. So it's really a blessing, but it is requisite that we have the right attitude towards it, because the minister said God is positive, and whatever happens in our life, It is not negative unless you allow it to make you negative. And when you and I take an attitude towards this that appears to be a failure, then it actually does become a negative experience. But if you can look at it and say, what was the lesson here? What went wrong? And then take it, study it, and build on it, then it becomes something that is positive and builds you up for the next stage of your life. So the minister said it to me like this, one day he looked at me and he said, be patient with yourself. And those simple words, be patient with yourself, have stuck with me for all the years since he said it to me. Because if you're not patient with yourself, then your own failures will make you want to throw in the towel or make you want to heck with it. I'm just going to give in and go back with the flow of the world. But if we are of the mind that are not what we are going to be, and it's a process of growing back into being ourselves and gaining mastery. Mastery doesn't come overnight with anything. It takes practice. It takes patience. It takes constant effort. And on that road, there will be failures. So if we embrace that process, knowing that in advance, then we won't be so devastated. We won't be so flabbergasted or upset whenever we make a mistake or we fall short. We'll be able to say, okay, I was expecting that. Let me learn from it and now improve myself. But that, brothers, requires an absolute continual reminding of ourselves that comes through his word and comes through our prayer that refocuses our mind to keep facing the things that we face in this life that will bring failure. But when you expect it from time to time, it's really not failure. It's just an opportunity to learn.
Yes. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Yes. Go ahead with the question, beloved.
Yes, sir. This is a question that comes from one of those watching, and it says, which title should we refer to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as, Mahdi, Messiah, or Christ? And is there a difference? And if both of you can touch on that.
Yes, sir. Would you like me to go first, or?
Oh, by all means, brother, you're the guest. Let you go ahead and take the heat, make the stumble. I'll catch up on the picture in the background.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother, for the question who asked it. And, you know, such a question. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he has given us a lot of knowledge on this subject in various lectures. And when we understand these titles, there are places where, excuse me, it is interchangeable. However, the minister has, as of late, made it very clear that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as we have referred to him for a long time as the exalted Christ, that he is still that. But when you're talking about Christ, you're talking about it from the Christian perspective. Christ, the crusher of the wicked, not Jesus's last name, but the title of the Jesus that is conferred upon him when he is granted to share of God to crush the wicked. This is parallel to what is written of the Mahdi, who is one who is to set down all of the tyrants, that is to in the earth. That's beyond the power of a messenger, but that's one who has been endowed with power to be able to deal with the wicked. And so the minister has said that we can refer to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad now as Mahdi. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his work among us, he has called him also the great Messiah. But in this now, the minister has said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad exercises such power that he exercises this day, that he is one that we refer to as the exalted Christ. But Mahdi and Christ, I would say, are more so interchangeable. But that title of Messiah, one who travels much, one who is a witness of God's presence in his work of transformation of the lives of the people. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work while he was among us. And now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as his extension, is the Messiah in our midst. But he is, as he calls himself, the little Messiah. That is the extension of the great Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So it is a subject of that placement that I would encourage my brother and all of us who are students in the class to continue to hear everything that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan goes deeply into the explaining of how the Elijah Muhammad has gone from the first phase of his mission now into his true assignment. As he told the minister, it would take him 40 years to understand assignment. So it really is a subject, just that subject alone could probably be the entire night of the podcast.
If you find the information in this program insightful and informative, please consider donating to Knowledge for Life, a nonprofit 501c3. And you can go into the description and click on our Cash App, $KnowForLife, or our PayPal secure link. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate your support.
Yes, sir. Brother Sultan, there's no need to come in behind that. I think Allah blessed you to describe that very well. We know that the Master came among us, and the only one that recognized him as God was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But because he did not call himself God, and he was referred to as Professor Farad and other names, but he was God already. Mm-hmm. And even when he was referred to as the Son of Man and the Great Mahdi, that did not change the fact that he was God already. But when you're trying to bring a people into the understanding of God made manifest in the flesh, and they're hung up in the spirit of God as spook and it and that and this, then there's a process, as you have beautifully described this whole night. To everything, there is a process. And there is a process to understanding that God is a man coming from the process of God as a mystery or a spook. But he was God when he arrived. He was God when he departed. And then he began to bring his man up. As Brother Minister Lucius Bia said, how do you know that this man is God? Because he made me all up into himself. And we used to have an expression in the nation prior to 75. How can a man teach you that you are God, and that God is a man, and he not be God himself? How can someone teach you what they're not? And so we go from there to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As you so beautifully described, these are functions and titles that men walk into and out of, into greater and greater heights until they become God. That's the destination that God, Master Farad Muhammad, came to us for, not to make us leaders, just believers, just this or that. He came to make us a nation of God. No, we won't be the divine supreme being, but we will be the divine supreme being of our God characteristics and manifestation. It's in us. But like you said, it's the process. And thank you, Brother Sultan, for that explanation. And I just simply say that, and as you see, that's an actual subject.
Yes, sir. That's the subject. Yeah. That's right. And if I can just say simply for the question there also, is that the minister has taught us that Master Farad Muhammad, he came First, he used to say with two hats, but as of late, he said he came with three hats. One of them did not show, but two of them he showed, Mahdi and Messiah, and they were for two men. So we can take that simple explanation and hopefully that makes it clear where those hats fit.
There you go. Thank you, brother. Exactly what he said. Thank you. Anybody else, Brother Stephen?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the question, how do you, in your relationships with others, how do you approach conflict and disagreement in ways that align with your journey with mastery of self?
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. This question, disagreement, reminds me of the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're taught that he said, disagreement is like a lighted fuse. And if you know fuse was connected to, it is connected to that which explodes. It is connected to that which, when it is ignited, is not a good thing. So disagreement, I have always tried to, since coming into being a practicer of this wisdom, is that when disagreements arise, I try to find where we can find some ground to agree on. Because it is agreement that we are taught is the basis of love. That when we can agree, then we have an opportunity to develop a spirit of love and unity between us that is greater than whatever came in between us to cause disagreement. And knowing that, you know, our contentious going back and forth in a heated dispute many times is non-productive. I've tried to implement in my home, in my marriage, in my friendships, among those that I deal with, that we are not going to dispute with one another in an argumentative way. We're going to dialogue in such way that allows us to keep our emotions in check, because if emotions get out of control, it becomes very difficult to master yourself. Well, as you and I know, when anger is kindled, it is fire. And fire out of control, as we've seen in Maui and other places recently, it can do everything. The fire in Canada destroying everything. And we have fire in our being that if it's not checked and under control, we know we can burn up relationships. We can burn up our home. We can burn up the mosque. We can burn up our community with our mouth and with our actions when we allow the fire of our anger or any emotion to overcome. So I try to be one who enforces in my home and outside of my home the kind of self-control that would lead to mastery, by saying when the emotions arise, to say, if I can be aware of the fact that it's getting to a point where it may get out of hand, that I will be the one to say, well, let's pause, let's cool it. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught, let's revisit this when the emotions have had a chance to calm down. And in that, we come together in a logical and sensible way to iron out and talk through with very calmly and mathematically that which has caused an issue. Because I've come to see that if we don't do that in our relationships, many times they will be destroyed, and it's necessarily because it was something that couldn't have been handled, but it is because I did not practice that self-control. When I saw it getting to a certain pitch, to exercise what my teacher gave me, to put it out, put the disagreement out, don't let that fuse explode, and then come back to it at a later time in such a way that would allow us to not blow things up. Because we know we can blow up some relationships and we come back around later and apologize and repair. It's so much better when we can keep away from blowing up things in the home and we can just stay together. And in that, we demonstrate to our fellow brother, sister, husband, wife, mother, daughter, children, whoever it is, we demonstrate to them that, look, there is a better way for us to resolve the things that come up in life that are bound to cause some ruffles here and there, but it doesn't have to be explosive. And I think in this, we are learning the ways of peace through this life-giving teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through his minister, Minister Farrakhan.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, sir. Excellent.
We have a question And I'll go ahead and read it out. It says, what aspect of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made you want to look deeper into and ultimately decide to become a registered member?
Yes, sir. Thank you for that question. You know, I was recently having a similar conversation with my wife about what aspects of the teaching ultimately drew me in that way. And I would have to say, of all of them that drew me in different ways, I can say that as I began to learn it, I've often shared with others that though I was remembering something that I forgot, as opposed to learning something I never knew. So everything that I heard of the teachings, it was water to my soul, and I only wanted to get more, especially in those early days. But I will have to say that one of the major things that intrigued me to come forward and officially get registered was the idea of learning that all that we are going through was already written in advance. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us about those of our holy wise scientists who write the history in advance, and then we walk into it, and learning that and really diving into that thought made me to begin to look for the connecting of dots, not just in past history, but in my present life. And I could see in that idea that none of this is happening by act, none of it is happening by coincidence. It made me to see the divinity of God's working out of circumstances in my own life that made me to feel that really I had no other choice but to offer my service and my life in my nation, because as I said, I was born of parents who were in the faith. So I owe my very existence to the God that the minister has lifted up. But it was learning of how we write that history and knowing that none of this is happening by accident or by coincidence that I began to make sense of my own life and make sense of all that was going on in our community, in our world. And when I began to see it through that lens, and really connect the dots for myself, I really felt I didn't have another choice. And so I've only been doing what I felt really God had already written for me, and that there would be no other way for me to be happy but to do that which he gave me life to do.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. In your closing remarks, what advice do you leave with us and this audience of both believers and guests? What advice do you leave for us this evening in your closing comments as to how to stay on this path if we're ever going to become masters of ourselves?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Minister, and for all of these wonderful questions. And I would say that my last words of advice that I would like to share is that, you know, the road to self-discipline and the road to self-mastery is not an easy road. But it is a road that if we embrace it with a made up mind, then there is nothing, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that is more powerful than a mind that is made up. And if we would make up our mind that we are going to face whatever it takes, see full development of ourselves, the full development of our potential, and become masters of ourselves, if we would make up our mind and determine the course that we would take, then there is no failure, there is no disappointment, there is no temptation that will allow us to fall down and stay down. It doesn't mean that we won't trip up sometimes. It doesn't mean that we won't slip up times or make a mistake, but it is critical if we are going to be those who become masters of ourselves that we have the fortitude of mind that requires that we follow behind the one who has given us the example of such fortitude, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that if we keep our eye on him, one that absolutely raised up not to just give us a word, but show us the way. As it is written of the Messiah, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we follow the way that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has shown us, and he adhere to the truth that he has given us, then we live the life that God has come to give us, and that is a life of a master, and ultimately to become God's men and women of force and power. And the minister doesn't demonstrate to that to us as a life on a crystal staircase. There will be some difficulties. There will be some bumps and bruises, as I've had mine and still do. But I believe that as long as we keep our eyes on the one that God has raised up for us, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, wherever you see him, look at him. And wherever you hear him, listen to him. If we just try it, I believe that we will all be witnesses of the fact that God is present today, and he has offered us all that we need to be able to become absolute masters of ourselves. But we have to accept the bounty of our Lord that he has offered us in his minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I thank you, my brothers, for allowing me this opportunity.
You, sir, and thank you for coming on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Brother Stephen, we turn it back over to you.
This is an interactive program. We would love for you to send in your questions. And with that, may God continue to bless you and your family with the light of truth and understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Thank you for listening to this very informative, insightful program. Please follow, like, and share with family, friends, and associates. Come back every week for a new episode of Knowledge for Life's podcast.